Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks so much for joining us once again this week. On today's podcast, we'll hear from Michael Bowman, Chief Policy Officer for First Crop Incorporated, a public benefit corporation dedicated to helping American farmers involved in the hemp industry. We'll also hear from Midwest Hemp Council Treasurer Jamie Campbell Petty, who'll talk about upcoming field days, the advisory committee meeting, Indiana Research Cooperative, and a lot more, so stay tuned for that. But first, we turn our attention to Michael Bowman, co-founder of First Crop Incorporated and also the author of Section 7606 of the 2014 Farm Bill, which granted the right to cultivate hemp under the federal law. That also jump-started the hemp movement in the United States. Well, Michael, thanks for joining us on the program this week.
Well, it's great to be here this morning with you, Jason.
Oh, absolutely. Now, tell us a little bit more about First Crop Incorporated and how you help the American farmer out there.
Well, I'd be happy to do that. First Crop has been formed as a public benefit corporation, and our target is going to be kind of I would call it a new age co-op. You know, my great grandfather established one of the first co-ops in Colorado. Post-depression, and you know, those kinds of tools for farmers at that time were especially important to, you know, aggregate their both their buying power and their marketing prowess in their crops at the time. Today we have very similar circumstances, and I and the four other co-founders of the group felt like what we really needed was a way to bring some capacity to, particularly socially disadvantaged farmers, women, Latinos, African-Americans, veterans, Native Americans, small farmers that want to get into the hemp sector, a new part of agriculture that is uniquely suited for small producers as well, have a focus on regenerative agriculture and giving back and such. So that's where we started. The premise was, how are we going to empower the smaller farmers? Those that are the big players in the game have their own set of tools that they'll use. But we wanted to make sure that as we bring this plant, back onto the rural landscape across America, that everybody had a fighting chance really to get in it. So that was the premise behind it. It's led by our founder, Jane Pinto, a wonderful woman who has a heart for this and equality and everything that we stand for. And so we're thrilled that we're some guys being able to work with an incredible visionary and founder of the company, and take our values and our mission and make it mean something.
Okay, Michael, one of the reasons we wanted to get you on the program, and we will have you back before this event, but you're going to be the keynote speaker at the Hemp at the Crossroads Education and Trade Show. That'll be coming up in Indianapolis, Indiana, on November 16th and 17th. And once again, just one of the things that you do to help farmers all over the country. But that should be an interesting trade show.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I know that some great friends... Jamie in particular and leading that group and just really excited about the passion that the group brings to the industry, whereas we're finally breaking out of a kind of post 7606 world in the Farm Bill. We're moving to full legalization and or descheduling and all the opportunities that's going to bring, that we just have such a great number of people across the country stepping up to the plate, creating these organizations, creating the capacity to make this real. And so I couldn't be more excited to be there. And by the way, I hope it's in Fort Wayne, because I believe my tickets are taking me to Fort Wayne and not Indianapolis. But if it is, I'll change it.
Well, you may need to Uber on down a little bit, unless we're looking at a different event here. But yeah, this is November 16th and 17th. And I don't believe the registration has opened up yet, but you can go to the Midwest Hemp Council website for anybody listening. And the details and registration information will follow. But, Michael, I'm sure we will find a way to get you from Fort Wayne to Indianapolis, so don't worry about that. I'll take it upon myself.
I'm trying to change my tickets. I think my tickets are taking me to Fort Wayne.
Oh, there we go. Well, we'll get all that figured out. Now let's talk about some of the other things you're involved with. And, again, that's the Hemp at the Crossroads Education and Trade Show coming up in November. We'll get more information on that later. And, as I said, we're going to have you back on the program to really dig into the details of that. Should be an exciting weekend for everybody. But something that struck me as very interesting, seemed quite exciting, was you were the author of Section 7606 of the 2014 Farm Bill. Of course, that's what granted the right to cultivate hemp under federal law, kind of jump-started the hemp movement in the United States. What was in Section 7606?
Well, that was one of my finer moments, Jason. I had, if I rewind back to the summer of 13, when there was an attempt in the Senate to incorporate a number of things into the Senate version of the Farm Bill, which included descheduling and a number of the things that we did ultimately in 2018. That particular piece of legislation went down in flames. So if you think about the context of from 2013. To today, what we've done, it was almost wholly rejected in the Senate, and there was a lot of the industry had pinned a lot of hope on the fact that we'd get something done in the Senate. So when that went down, I thought, we have a shot here to do something, and it's imperative that we get something into this farm bill to open up the barn door, so to speak, pardon the pun. And I wrote the language for 7606, which effectively was opened up the opportunity for research at the state level in states where hemp had been legalized at that point. And in 13, there'd only been in June of 13, that summer of 13, there was only, I think, 13 states at the time that I wrote that language that were legal. I took that language to then Congressman Jared Polis, who is now our Colorado governor, and said, let's try this. Do you think we could do this? And so sure enough, they got the thumbs up. It went to the Rules Committee, and it became Polis Amendment 192 and Amendment 37 to the House version of the 2014, which would become the 2014 Farm Bill. And we opened the door, and that's what was important. It allowed the states a lot of breadth. We added state departments of agriculture to the language in a conference committee later that year in December. So we were at the starting gate where any research institution, a land grant university, and our state departments of agriculture could issue permits for production. And we moved the industry from 0 acres to 75,000 acres over the period of that farm bill leading into the 2018 language and the full descheduling. So, politics is and policy really is generally a game of inches, and this is true. The Senate attempt earlier that summer was looking for a grand slam, and that just isn't the way policy works generally. So we took a bite. We opened the door. We got all the horses out of the barn, and they're not going back.
Well, there we go. And of course, here in Indiana, we're in the midst of our first growing season with hemp. After we were able to get Senate Bill 516 passed on top of the 2018 Farm Bill, but again, we're going all the way back to 2014, when most people had only known of hemp through maybe the history books or something like that. When did you get involved with the hemp movement, and why did you get involved with it, Michael?
Well, I really have to wind the tape a long ways back for that one, Jason. Back in the late 1990s, early 2000s, I was doing a lot of work with Alan Savory in Zimbabwe on soil management and health with managed grazing, and And one night around a campfire in 2001, there was a couple from Australia that came in and spent the night with us, and they'd been on a round the world sabbatical, and had just been in India, and we're talking about this transition in India from hemp to cotton that was being forced upon the farmers at the time, and what a disaster it was becoming in those small rural communities. There was a lot of farmer suicides over this transition. It was taking the, you know, it was a century old tradition and forcing them into a very new world with new, you know, it wasn't a very natural world to one with chemicals and bank loans and all kinds of things that were an anomaly to that culture. And so I was just appalled. Most of it was a social justice issue for me. I grew up Catholic. I got the social justice piece of the religion and what was happening to those farmers and really grinding out the small ones in particular. And so I knew very little about hemp at the time. So it was really digging in and learning about that crop, because I wanted to do something to address that in some kind of advocacy way, only to start learning about the hemp plant through that process. And remind, our farm is, you know, in Colorado. We were too far west. Hemp didn't make it that far west before the 37 Tax Act was put in place. And so other than a little feral hemp in some of the bottom ground brought in by the geese or as they flew over in the wintertime, we didn't have hemp. And then I started realizing what that plant was capable of doing. And our farming operation is over the Ogallala Aquifer. And we've been withdrawing unsustainable amounts of water from that aquifer for years, growing corn and at scale. So we were looking for a transition crop anyway. I've always been interested in rural development. So what kind of crop could we transition to that might give us opportunities to create jobs, use less water, be more environmentally benign, regenerate soil, absorb atmospheric CO2. And of course, as we started ticking off the boxes, there was one crop that ticked off all the boxes, mm-hmm. and that was hemp. So that little campfire chat in 2001 proved to be a life-changing event for me. I didn't realize it that night at the time, but I'd spend the next 19 years obsessed with with the plant and being a part of the movement to bring it back. But it's been a great journey, and it took the efforts of a lot of people, sometimes in concert, sometimes separately, doing what we were doing to achieve what we achieved. So here we are. We've got a whole new world ahead of us.
So sitting around a campfire in 2001 in Zimbabwe, that catapulted you into the hemp industry. That's an amazing story. I wish we had more time to get into the whole Zimbabwe thing, but we'll leave that for when you do come back. But,
okay.
But again, you know, it seems like ancient history to go back to the 2014 Farm Bill, but to go all the way
right
back to 2001 and start talking about hemp, that put the seed, so to speak, into your head. But when did you actually start acting on that? When did you start making the research and ticking off the boxes, as you called it?
Well, I started doing the research soon thereafter once I returned from Zimbabwe, and over the next couple of years just started becoming very interested in it. And in late 2005, my good friend Sheldon Jones was the Deputy Commissioner of Agriculture in Colorado, and so I reached out to Sheldon. I said, Sheldon, we need to find a way to start building some support. Let's talk about this at a state level. Could we find some support in the legislature? Could we, you know, what could we do to open up a door? And I became a pest to Sheldon. He would tell you to this day. I just saw him a couple weeks ago in D.C. I'm like, Sheldon, I talk about you all the time. Lo and behold, about a year later, I got a call from his office and said, Mike, there's a woman here in Denver by the name of Linda Parker. And she's an urban activist. She's very active, interested in hemp. From some time she worked on a bill in the early 1990s, and she'd like to help. And so we came together. We just bonded instantly. He had a rural and urban activist talking about, you know, she wanted it for the consumer goods, and I wanted it for all the environmental and farming and rural opportunities. So what we did was started an education really campaign, just the two of us in Colorado, And by luck, one of my good friends was the ag consul at the Canadian consulate in Denver. And once a quarter, they would open up their boardroom for us, and we could bring in any group we wanted to talk about hemp. Of course, they had legalized in 1997, and so they were already down the path of growing and having put a permit process together. So we could bring people in, whether it be law enforcement or bar association, teachers association, legislators, and give them a hemp 101 and have Canadians beamed in from Canada Health or Health Canada and their farmers to answer questions. So we did that for about 3.5 years. Then in 2010, went to the legislature, got them to pass a resolution in support of returning hemp back to America's farms. We've got a unanimous vote on that. Sent those that resolution to the minority and majority speakers of the speakers of the House and the Senate side in Washington. And then 2011, we ran a short a bill to do some phytoremediation tests on some forest fire. You know, we'd had a lot of forest fires the summer before to do some land remediation. And then in 2012 was the real watershed event, Colorado's Amendment 64, which ended prohibition of the cannabis plant in its entirety. We worked on, of course, and that meant industrial hemp for Colorado's farmers and their right to grow it embedded in our Constitution.
Well, Michael Bowman, the Chief Policy Officer for First Crop Incorporated in Colorado. And Michael, it's great to get this history. This is a perspective we've not really ever had here on the Midwest Hemp Council podcast. Someone talking about hemp before 2014. So certainly some good stories there. Now, you know, to bring it back to 2019 and back to Indiana, where the farmers, producers, everybody involved, it's really a first time thing. We've only had a few years here of experience, and so much of agriculture relies on experience, the real life experience of being out there with the crops, education, and we're having some growing pains here with cross pollination, pesticides, things like that. So getting back to the hemp at the Crossroads Education Trade Show, you'll be the keynote speaker at that. Do you do a lot of these throughout the years? And I imagine the farmers are just out there soaking up this information that you're bringing to them.
Well, they are. I've done a lot of speaking over the last 10 or 15 years on rural development, sustainability, environment, and then almost exclusively hemp over the last, since 2000, and particularly on a national scale since 2012 when we legalized in Colorado and then formed the National Hemp Association. So I've done a lot of speaking on this. It's my it is my passion. We have a long ways to go, though, Jason. You know, we're all newbies at this. We don't know what we don't know. Other than we do know that this is a crop that does hold a lot of promise and a lot of opportunities for us. So I was saying this is a marathon, not a sprint. And there's a lot of irrational exuberance in some places around the industry where there's, the folks who want to get in quick and do their thing. I think if you come at this from the perspective of a farm kid or from the rural, from a rural perspective, we generally take a longer look at things. And this is definitely a case where, excuse me, that kind of prudence is needed. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there really quick. If Americans are good at anything, we're really good at figuring things out and figuring it out fast and getting to scale. So I'm optimistic about that. But we still have a lot of challenges ahead of us.
All right. Once again, Michael Bowman, Chief Policy Officer for First Crop Incorporated, that is in Colorado, a guy, as you heard, with plenty of experience and a lot we can learn from in the hemp industry, coming to the Hemp at the Crossroads trade show. And that's coming up in November. Again, as I've said throughout the entire podcast here, we'll have more information on that coming up. And we will get Mr. Bowman back on the program, assuming that he would be so kind to join us again.
I'd be happy to do that, Jason. Anytime, just call me.
All right. Again, we will let you get back to it. We do appreciate you joining us this week, and we'll talk to you soon, Michael.
Thank you, Jason. Look forward to seeing everybody in Indiana.
All right. And as we continue on with the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, we have the Midwest Hemp Council Treasurer, Jamie Campbell Petty. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Hi, Jason. Pretty good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. A lot to talk about, so we'll get right to it. This Friday, the Third Wave Farms Field Day sold out, but a big event. Yeah, I assume we expect a lot of people showing up for that.
We do. We're getting a lot of late requests, and unfortunately, we're just not able to accommodate. But this is 400-plus acres of CBD grown in Logansport, Indiana, by Third Wave Farms. And we have speakers, obviously Midwest Hemp Council, but most importantly, Third Wave Farms. Mike Lewis will be presenting, along with Dr. Sean Lucas from Kentucky State, Marguerite Bolt, the Purdue Hemp Extension Specialist, Dr. Brad Voigt from the University of Vermont. So we've got a lot of good things happening there tomorrow. It'll be a full day of hemp education, and looking forward to that.
And when's the next opportunity? Again, this one's sold out, so when is the next opportunity for folks to get involved in a field day?
Well, the next, there's one hemp event. It's actually Davidson Nursery in the Crawfordsville area, and I don't have the link in front of me, but you would be able to find it on Eventbrite or Facebook. And they're having a hemp dinner on the 19th, so next Thursday evening, and it's a little bit different. You'll be able to see their fields, but they're going to be having entertainment and a variety of speakers. So if you're interested in that, I encourage you to use Facebook or Eventbrite to find Davidson Nursery for that. It's the 19th. We also next week have on Wednesday another sold-out event, which is Waters Corporation in Carmel, along with Pro Verde Labs, are holding a one-day hemp analysis and hemp testing seminar for Midwest Hemp Council members, as well as the Indiana Hemp Advisory Council. And that has now sold out. That's going to be a really exciting opportunity. Waters Corporation actually is providing that as a free service, along with teaming with Midwest Hemp Council. So we're really excited to discuss that, as testing obviously is a key issue, both methodology, the chemical compounds within the cannabis plant, and so forth. So full day of education there.
So obviously the theme here is that these events consistently sold out. People need to jump on these when they can. And obviously that means there's a ton of interest out there. That's certainly great to see.
That's true. And we are selling out very quickly. And a lot of people are tempted to just show up, and we understand that. But most of these have, you know, limitations on the number of people in attendance, or things are planned in advance. So it's really important, if you do want to be there, that you register in advance.
Much like growing hemp itself, there's a lot of planning and preparation involved, and that goes as well with these sort of meetings and field days. You really need to be organized in a personal manner, as well as, of course, a business manner, and that just kind of goes along with this industry.
Jason, you're exactly right, and that's a struggle that we're still having this year, and we understand, and Midwest Hemp Council's goal is to help farmers prepare much better for 2020. One of the opportunities that they're going to have, in addition to these field days and our networking events, is in November, we're going to be hosting Hemp at the Crossroads. And that will be a two-day conference at the Marriott East, Saturday the 16th and Sunday the 17th. Saturday the 16th will be Agronomy Day. The focus will be on CBD, fiber, and grain, actual farmers, and as well as the Purdue research team. We have researchers from other states that are going to join us. So that'll be a full day of agronomy. And then Sunday will be focused on building your business plan, having your contracts in order, education on crop insurance, grants. So that will be the business side of things. And we look forward to providing everyone with that information. The website is up. We have a lot of updating to do, but the website is up at hempatthecrossroads.com.
And we just
hempatthecrossroads.com.
Oh, sorry to cut you off there, Jamie. Well, we did just speak with Michael Bowman, the keynote speaker of the event, and we'll have him back on before that event, but certainly sounds like we're going to get a lot of information and education there.
We are. It's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of information. And we have some great people coming in to participate and share their experiences, whether they've been doing this for 5 years or if this was their first year.
All right. Once again, Jamie Campbell Petty, treasurer of the Midwest Hemp Council, joining us to update us on the meetings and advisories and everything going on regarding hemp here in Indiana. And looking ahead again to next week, or actually a week from Monday, the Indiana Hemp Advisory Council meeting. That's at 9:30 at Hendricks County. Talk a little bit about that in Danville.
Yes, Jason, that's very important for people who have any interest in this industry at all to try to attend these sessions. And I believe, let's see, I think I said 9:30, and I apologize, it's 9 o'clock on the 23rd. But it is important, yes, but it is important for people to come out and interact with the advisory council because they're there to listen to you and they're there to share their thoughts as we build our regulatory framework moving forward.
And again, that's Monday, September 23rd at 9 a.m., and that'll run until about noon. So folks are certainly invited to go out and check out the proceedings and see how that goes. And then some other things coming up here in the last week of September in Michigan City, Indiana, the Viabend event.
Yes, we don't have a set date. We should be able to announce that date in the next few days. But Viobin, which some of our listeners know as Hippo Extracts, but they are Viobin, and they're based in Michigan City, and they also have a location in Monticello, Illinois. They are going to be doing CBD extraction services this year, and so they're going to be hosting a farmer's open house. Midwest Hemp Council will be teaming with them to have a farmer's open house the last week of September, the first week of October. And again, that date will get put out via our website and social media as soon as we have confirmed exactly which date that is. So the day will be approximately 10 to 3 o'clock, and we will have speakers, of course, a facility tour. And the main thing will be for Viobin to share with these farmers what they are looking for and how they anticipate teaming with the farmers, whether this year or next year. So that'll be a great opportunity. We have one of our networking events, which we haven't had for a couple months due to the grow season and all the field days. But Dream Nutrition and Midwest Hemp Council will be working together to host an open house networking opportunity at Dream Nutrition in Rocheville. And that will be on October 10th. So encourage you to save the date now. And again, early next week, more details will be released. But this will be more of a social event, if you will, so that people can get to know one another, talk about their experience from this year. And as always, our goal is to help each other build their supply chain and their network as we go forward into 2020.
Okay, Jamie, the 2019 Indiana Hemp Cooperative, what's the status there? And I know there's a lot of challenges, everything from growing to harvesting to processing. You guys are covering everything there with the cooperative. Tell us what's going on. Maybe give us an update.
So as you know, we gathered farmers, growers, and some end users to work together in a cooperative manner for this growing season to gather research and experience. A lot of challenges, even more maybe perhaps than we anticipated, but also a lot of good results, a lot of good information to be shared. Some of the key points is that we know that we need improved genetics that are specific to the Midwest, specific to Indiana. We know that we need stronger infrastructure, and that's from harvesting to processing. So those are kind of the two things. And something we've impressed upon our members since early in 2019 as everything unfolded. And really, it continues going into 2020. Hemp is a new crop. It is still research. If you are in part of our network, you have heard me say new crop, research crop, and you must be risk tolerant. Those three things, new, research, and risk tolerant. Unfortunately, I don't believe that all were necessarily prepared for that. So we are now stepping in to try and help some of these people who perhaps weren't as prepared as they could have been. Because this is new, you hear people say it's a weed, it'll grow anywhere. That's not the case. Not true. And we still have work to do And there is still research, again, whether it's genetics, whether it's growing methods, whether it's harvesting methods, there's still research to be done. And it does require risk tolerance. I had several people that truly wanted to use this as a way to save their farm this year, and we had to beg them to stand down. You don't use a new crop under research terms to save your farm. It does not work. And frankly, that is the same mantra you're going to hear me say going into 2020. We need people who understand that and who are willing to work together as a network to grow this industry and build a strong foundation. One of the things that has come about are there are many people in the state that are very much isolated and growing on their own. And that's where we're finding the problems, because they don't have the network of education, support, and teamwork. So we're encouraging everyone to please get involved. There are so many ways to get involved. These field days, networking, even listening to the podcast from while you're in your tractor or something. These are ways of being part of a community that's building an industry. So that's really the goal of this cooperative, and we hope that everyone will join us.
Well, Jamie, talk about also some of the problems out there with the contracts. I know that's been a bit of a problem that's been popping up lately.
Right. There are many farmers who did enter into this, unfortunately, without contracts. So I, myself and others, are working with them to try and assist, but there's no guarantees. We only have a few processors in this state, so that means that we also have to look outside the state lines, perhaps.
And what you're saying here is that people have planted hemp with no end user from the beginning, meaning they were just hoping that after they grew it, cultivated it, that somebody would be there to purchase it.
That's correct. And as you know, as part of our cooperative and as part of Midwest Hemp Council's mantra, we were very much against that. We encouraged for this year and for next year, do not grow without a contract. I believe that should hold true in any industry, but it is especially true with hemp, and it is still a volatile market. It is still ever-changing. So that has been one of the key concerns and things that we are trying to work with right now and trying to facilitate building bridges. The other problem is pollination. And again, this was something that we knew would be a problem, and everyone was warned very much in advance about this, because we did not have the capability this year of mapping grows or communicating effectively. Our cooperative was able to communicate. There's about 60 farmers in our group. We were able to communicate. But even then, some farmers made the choice on their own to perhaps grow their fiber near their CBD or their neighbors. We strongly recommended against that. I personally, as much as I get laughed at, recommended a 20-mile barrier between any difference in crops. And now what we're seeing, just like other states have experienced, is heavy cross-pollination. And so that, you know, that results, it's unknown how much, but that does result in some degradation, especially to the CBD crops. So once again, things that we have learned and had warned about, so we hope that as we go into 2020, that people will be much more prepared and much more willing to work together and communicate about what they are doing and work with their neighbor to ensure that everyone can succeed.
Well, when you bring a lot of individuals together, you're certainly going to have a lot of different results and different people doing it different ways. But like you said, there's a lot of people trying to work together out there in the cooperatives, and then people that aren't involved in the cooperatives trying to network, work together, get information out there. There's always going to be growing pains in something like this that hasn't been done in decades. So the best thing to do is to reach out and try to get that information and the help that's certainly available out there.
Yes, exactly. It takes all of us. We're very fortunate, Midwest Hemp Council. We have Bowman Family Holdings. We have Cocaline, Co-Alliance. You know, they have come alongside of us as strategic partners this year. they see the value in all of us cooperating and working together to build a foundation. So we're asking our farmers, we're asking businesses, please join us. And I don't mean just as Midwest Hemp Council, as hemp industry participants in working together, communicating effectively so that we can grow this industry and perhaps going forward, reduce the growing pains.
Once again, the treasurer of the Midwest Hemp Council, Jamie Campbell Petty, always on the run, always with a lot of great information. And we certainly do appreciate you coming on and talking with us, Jamie. And I assume we'll have you on here again very soon.
Okay, great. And Jason, we appreciate your assist.
Oh, absolutely. And that's going to do it for our show this week. The Midwest Hemp Council podcast is brought to you by the Bowes Public Affairs Group at Bowes, McKinney & Evans. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, and become a member. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. So long, everybody.